Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Money Mom Show. Are you tired of struggling day after day to reach your financial goals with no success? Do you want to know how to use God's Word as a roadmap to reach your financial destiny? Then this is the show for you. Your host is none other than Sherry Gray, one of America's leading financial coaches. As a host and financial coach, Sherry has helped thousands of individuals and families nationwide, taking them from where they are to where they need to be financially. For the next hour, you will be armed with the knowledge to achieve victory in your finances. You will hear firsthand how Sherry uses biblical principles to teach you how to budget, eliminate debt, and save for your future. And Sherry does it all with a mom's touch, not telling you what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. And now, here's your host, the Money Mom, Sherry Gray.
Welcome to the Money Mom Show. This is your host, Sherry Gray. Thank you for joining me again for this special edition of the Money Mom Show, the March edition. And this show is called Financial Fitness Tips for the Mom Entrepreneur. And the scripture for this hour is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, and it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." And I'm so pleased to have with me again, she's a return guest on the show. Her name is Teresa Sinicola, and I just want to tell you a little bit about her and what she does. She is the founder of the Christian Mompreneur Network, which serves as a mentor to moms who are running a business that supports faith and family. As the president and founder of the International Christian Mompreneur Network, she empowers entrepreneurial moms to build profitable businesses with wisdom and grace. Her programs, masterminds, and retreats help Christian business owners who are starting a business, working from home, or growing an existing business. Teresa has successfully run a home-based business as a freelance writer and marketing consultant for the past 18 years. She considers herself blessed to make a living doing what she loves and empowering other moms to create businesses that support their values of faith and family. Clients and colleagues call Teresa motivational, inspirational, and genuine. They appreciate the clarity, creativity, and accountability she contributes to their business success and personal growth. Teresa works from her home business office in Virginia Beach, Virginia, where she enjoys spending time with her husband, Chris, and their three children. She's a regular contributor to Christian blogs and magazines, including Catholic Mom, Proverbs 31 Woman, the National Association of Christian Women Entrepreneurs, and Crosswalk. Teresa is an active volunteer with the Girl Scout Council of Colonial Coast, St. John the Apostle Church, and Girls on the Run Southampton Roads. When she's not working or driving kids around town, she can be found running, biking, writing in her journal, or eating sushi. Teresa, thank you for joining me again for this hour.
Oh, thank you, Sherry. I'm so happy to be back.
Awesome. Just reading your bio again, it just reminds me of how much we have in common. You're saying, well, first of all, we both live in Virginia, which is an awesome state to live in.
Absolutely.
And you have kids, and you're driving kids around. I feel like half my life. I've done that half my life.
Driving
around. I mean,
it's a silly question to ask, you know, what a mom does in her free time because
right.
That's all we do.
What free time. It's
exactly.
Amazing. Wow. My oldest is, I'm getting veering off the path. My oldest is she will be 17 in May. So she has one more year in high school, and she visited UVA, which is the school she wants to go to attend. And they had a writing symposium, so one of her classes went for a field trip. And I know she's going to go to college, but it just hit me all of a sudden. It's like, what am I going to do when I'm not driving children around? It's a weird thing. I don't know.
It just
hit me all of a sudden. But yeah. I have a 9-year-old, too, so I got a long way to go. So
yeah. It's like the brain is prepared, but the heart is not quite ready.
Oh, I'm not ready. But, you know, we go through stages as moms, and that's definitely another stage to go through. So, but for now, I'm going to enjoy her while I have her. But again, like I said, I'm so glad you're here with us tonight. Your show, the show that you were on in December, was the highest rated show, highest downloaded show that I've ever done. It was over 40,000 downloads.
Wow, so, that's just amazing.
I know. So this topic of small business ownership, especially when it comes to moms, is so timely. And with the economy and everything that's going on, I think people are really taking a second look at becoming a business owner, you know, starting maybe part-time and then transitioning maybe to even full-time like you've done for the past 18 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do think that there's a growing trend, and it's interesting. We may have talked about this the last time, but, you know, there's the stay-at-home mom who's ready to just kind of re-enter the workforce a little bit and wants to create a business that they can run because of that flexibility of wanting to be with the kids and be at home. And then there's the full-time working mom who's just had it. Like, she just can't deal anymore. And it's just too much, and it's tearing at her heart that she has to, you know, be gone from 9 to 5 every day and even later, and that it's, things at home are not working smoothly, and she just needs to get kind of off that hamster wheel. And so both of those women are starting to find that starting a home-based business can be a solution to their problems. And it's actually a really exciting time to be starting a business from home, because there are so many resources. I mean, when I started this, going on 19 years almost ago, there, you know, it was not that easy. Yes, I did have the internet, but I think I was like the only person on it that I knew.
Yeah, 19 years ago, yeah, it was still pretty new.
Yeah, I mean, when we bought my computer, like, I think everybody in my family thought we were just wacko crazy buying, you know, a new Apple Macintosh, whatever, home computer. And my husband could tell you how much it cost, but it was several thousand dollars. And they were like, you are insane. And we're like, but no, this is my business now. I need this.
Yes. So. And it usually when you invest in those types of things, they tend to pay for themselves eventually anyway, if you're proactive with your business. And that's so many, like I said, this is a time, you know, a lot of people are very excited about starting a small business, but they really don't know where to begin. They know they want to do it, but, you know, where to start. And I know one of the first things that you teach is for them to have a separate checking account for their business.
And that's, I think, one of the most important things that we can do, and I have about five what I'm calling financial fitness tips that I want to share tonight, if that's okay. But before we want to do that, I just want to frame this whole conversation that we're going to have here, Sherry, with the truth, which is I am laughing at the fact that I am speaking on financial fitness because you are the money mom, and I am the mom that goes, oh, really? I got to go, you know, I got to look at the numbers. I got to pay attention to that. And it is painful for me. And so I want everyone who's listening to understand that if you are one of those moms who just doesn't really understand complicated financial data and doesn't really know what they're talking about when you're saying things like debt to asset ratio, you know, welcome to the club, because I belong to that club, and a lot of the women I work with belong to that club, but we can still run a profitable business. And we really just have to get a handle on the simple stuff, you know, and we go to the experts like Sherry for the more complicated stuff. And, you know, it isn't that hard, but a lot of moms, you know, especially moms that I work with, if it doesn't come naturally, like maybe you're a creative person. So if you're a writer or a photographer or artist, and even, you know, some specialty professional jobs like a dietitian or a chiropractor, or, you know, maybe a counselor, you don't view yourself as being in the money business. Right? Unless you're an accountant or a financial advisor, then you're in the money business. But if you're one of these other things, you're like, that's not my thing.
Right.
And I know that you will agree with me when I say this. If you are an entrepreneur, no matter what your business is, if you're running a business and you're calling it a business, you provide a service or a product, then you are in the business of money. And it is your job to know enough about your money to run your business, right?
Right, yes,
at least the basics. And the things you can't do, you know, be wise enough to seek counsel from other people who can help you.
Exactly. And so I think that for me, I put that off for a really long time, and we're going to talk about that because, you know, I don't have a head for the numbers. I am also like this do-it-yourself kind of mom, and I like to take control of things. And so, you know, I would have a lot of conversations with my husband. He is good with numbers. He is good with finances. So I would have him explain something to me. And I promise you, Sherry, he would tell me the same things over and over and over again. And I'd be like, no, wait a second. I just don't understand this. And he was so patient until I understood it. And he knew that, like, in another 3 months, I was going to forget it anyway. But he kept at it with me, and, he, you know, he helped me to understand what I needed to know, and that was really challenging. And it's actually a very humbling experience when you have to say, you know, I'm not really good at this, but, you know, you have to challenge yourself. And that's one of the beauties of being an entrepreneur is that you get to challenge yourself in ways that you never would if you were in a regular job. Because it wouldn't be part of your job.
Right. That's true. You find yourself, I've stretched myself this past 18 months. I've been working from home for 18 months now, and I've said that to other people, I've done things that I never thought were possible that I could do. And just having that experience of being an entrepreneur working from home, you know, it's been amazing. It really has. And I'm glad at the time it wasn't so great because I'm like, oh, my gosh, how do I figure this out? But it turned out fine. And I was glad because I learned something so valuable.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look at it, here you are, the money mom. So your background is in finance, and you're doing a radio show.
Yeah, right. That's true.
So
That's true.
Only in the entrepreneurial world can you do that. Like, you really have so many opportunities, so many blessings. You know, this entrepreneurial journey is such a professional and personal growth experience. And, you know, you can either ignore it or embrace it when it comes to the pieces of your business that you're not prepared to do. And, you know, for me, finances was one of them. And for a long time, I did ignore it. And I wouldn't exactly use the word embrace right now, but I've definitely accepted what I need to be responsible for, and I have empowered others to be responsible for the rest.
Awesome. Well, right now we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to leave you with the sounds of Strong Enough by Matthew West. This is Sherry Gray, the Money Mom, and I'll see you in a few.
Give me what I'm going through. Well,
I want to tell you about my debt-free challenge 2013. I challenge my listeners to get on the road to becoming debt-free in 2013. I don't include mortgages in this debt-free challenge, but every other form of credit is fair game. Email me your total debt and how much you've paid towards your debt at the end of each month so I can keep track of everyone's progress. My email address is sherrygray@themoneymom.org. Each month, I'll award a prize to one person or couple who pays off the greatest percentage of their debt. A grand prize will also be given at the end of 2013 to the person or couple who pays off the greatest percentage of their debt for the entire year. The goal is simple. Look at what you're paying now towards debt and increase it to the point that you're completely debt-free by the end of 2013. Whatever you need to do, do it knowing that at the end of 2013, you could be debt-free. Welcome back to the Money Mom Show. This is your host, Sherry Gray. Thank you for joining me for this special hour, the Money Mom Show. Thank you for calling the Money Mom Show. Do you have a question?
Hi, if that's me, I just came across your show, and I'm working with a Christ-conscious gentleman and his wife who's an ordained minister, and we have some very powerful things we're looking to help people with.
Okay, do you have a question for our guest, Teresa Sinicola, about home-based businesses?
Well, that's exactly what we're working with, and I'd love to speak with her about some of that, and this is pretty powerful stuff.
Okay, so you can speak with her offline, or do you have a question right now?
Well, I would like to ask her if she knows of strategies that can bring more people to their true potential and power, and it's really about bringing spirituality into economics and combining it with unconditional love, making everything transparent, ethical, legal, moral, and forcing companies to be more responsible for their employees, their customers, the environment, and the community.
Okay. Teresa, you want to take that question?
Yeah, I think it sounds like what you're working on there is pretty amazing. I'm not quite sure what the question is for me because a very specific strategy on what? I got a little lost there.
Yes, well, it's that I'm affiliated with a very unique and dynamic organization that I don't have email, but if the host can share your number, I'd love to discuss it with you off air so you can attend the free live webinar and see what it's all about and how it might fit into your network. And I think that it's important. What you're doing is so fantastic, and I am a global visionary looking to empower women and also indigenous people, and I would like to share one website, History Making, if I may. It's
Let's just do this. Can you, the host is going to just shout out her email and her contact information, and then you guys can speak offline. Is that okay?
Yeah, I don't have email. That's why I was asking if you could share my number off air.
Okay, well, let me, she'll give you her contact information, and thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, great. The best way to find me is through the website, which is www.icmnetwork.com. That's I for international, C for Christian, and M for mompreneur, icmnetwork.com. And you'll find all my contact information there, the phone and email, and there's a contact form which will come to me.
Awesome. All right, so we're going to get back to the topic at hand, five financial fitness tips for the mom entrepreneur. So you're going to give us five tips. So what is one tip you wanted to give our listeners?
Well, we touched on this just a minute ago, and that's about getting your own separate checking account. And, you know, I call these financial fitness tips for a reason because I feel like the whole fitness analogy really is appropriate when you're talking about finance, especially for those of us who don't come by the financial wisdom naturally.
Right.
You know, we've got to exercise those financial muscles, and it's not like it happens overnight. So we have got to really invest in our own financial fitness by taking baby steps and continually adding to our, I guess, level of commitment as we get through this entrepreneurial process. So, but the very first thing when you know first starting out your business, you want to make sure that you have a separate checking account, and not only will your you know, accountant and your lawyer be really, really happy with you. But, you know, you're going to feel better because, you know, even if you're not making any money, let's just say you're not making any money right now in your business, having your own checking account enables you to treat your business like your business and not like a hobby.
Right, yes.
And I don't know, you know, if I'm sure this is similar to advice that you give. In fact, if you find a client who's still using their personal checking account for business, you're probably like, ah.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah.
You know, I tell people, you pay yourself from your business checking just like you would pay an employee. You have to keep it completely separate, not only for, you know, accounting, but just, you know, so you can track everything. So you can actually begin to think of it like you said, like a business and not a hobby.
Yeah, and I think that one of the things that we have this big roadblock about doing this, and for some people it's because when you have a checking account for it, it's real, you know?
Yeah.
So when we're just saying, well, you know, maybe I'll start a photography business. I kind of like this photography thing. I think I'm pretty good. You know, my friends like it. I'm going to take pictures of their kids. And then if you go and open a checking account, all of a sudden it is a real business. So that's like a big deal.
Yeah.
And when I was just last week talking to a client, and she is like full ready to jump into, you know, designing a website, and, you know, she's got her product ready, and I mean, everything is good to go. And she said something to me like, should I do this first, or should I go do the whole bank account thing? And the way she said that, I had to say, you know what, stop for a second, and let me just point out what you said.
Yeah.
You said the whole bank account thing. And when you said that, I could feel like this huge heavy weight on my shoulders, because it sounds like it's this big deal for you to go to the bank and literally take 20 minutes to open up a checking account. It's not a big deal.
I think we have a buildup in our mind. We think it's this huge thing. And once you get there, it's not as bad as we think it is.
Right. And, you know, the only thing you need in order to do that, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong here, Sherry, but, I mean, you need your tax ID number. So, you know, you need to have whatever legal entity you have set up, a LLC or, you know, whatever, S-Corp, whatever it is, you need your tax ID. And that's all they need. And some sort of, you know, opening balance. You need to be able to write a check to fund it. And that's it.
I know in my county we also needed a fictitious name certification, so you had to actually file your name with the county. But that's just But that's it. That's all you need.
So, you know, we make it out to be a big deal, and the actual act of going and doing it is not a big deal. But the feeling that it gives you, and the freedom and the empowerment that you get when you do that, is so amazing. And you can start to, you know, really treat it like a business because, you know, it's real. You have a bank account, right?
Exactly. So what is another financial fitness tip?
Okay, so the next financial fitness tip you already alluded to as well, and that is, so I know, clearly you know what you're talking about here.
Well, we'll see.
So this is a biggie, though. This is pay yourself a salary. And I know this is not a shock to you because I know you've met people like this, but, you know, I've got clients that have been in business years, like 2, 3, 4 years, and they don't pay themselves a salary. And one of my clients, I think she's been in business like 8 years, and she recently brought on 2 employees, and she was really excited because her revenues were just skyrocketing. And you know, I asked her if she had have you given yourself a raise with all of this, you know, good increase in your revenue. She said, "Well, I don't really have a salary to give myself a raise. I said, wait a minute. I said, you have two people on the payroll,
presses.
Right? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, well, how do you get paid? And she goes, well, I just kind of wait and see at the end of my month, what I, you know, after I do my payroll and pay, you know, subcontractors and all my expenses, you know, whatever's
right.
left in there, I, and I'm like, wait a minute.
Wow.
Yeah, and but she isn't alone. She really isn't. And there are a lot of different ways of looking at this. You know, some people say just take the bare minimum, you know, that you need to get by, especially when you're getting through startup. And, you know, other people say that you need to pay yourself a reasonable salary because, you know, when you're looking at what, you know, if you're ever going to sell your business, you have to look at your operating expenses and, you know, whoever the manager, owner, CEO of the company is going to need a salary, right?
Right.
So you can't have a realistic, you know, valuation of your company if you don't have a salary. But more importantly, for most of us, when we're just starting a home-based business, we're not paying attention to whether or not we're going to sell it and what people value our business at.
No.
We're just trying to, you know, we're just trying to make a profit.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, my advice is find a number you're comfortable with, stretch it a little bit, smidge higher than your comfort level. And pay yourself that every month and set it up as an auto payment, you know, just like you would a payroll. And if you have to take that money and reinvest it back in the company, do that. But at least you're getting that salary each month so you don't feel like you're working for nothing.
And that's the thing I was thinking about, too. It's like if you continue to do that for a long period of time, you may become kind of disenfranchised with working with your business because you're frustrated, you're not getting paid. People who work traditionally want to get paid. So, you know, I could see discouragement coming, you know, to that person if they don't pay themselves because you work so hard, you need to be compensated for that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right now we're going to take a quick break, and I'm going to leave you with the sound of Glorious Day by Casting Crowns. This is Sherry Gray, the Money Mom, and I'll see you in a few.
One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my
Working with clients and students, I found that creating and sticking with a budget is something that can be challenging. I wrote my ebook, Coming In and Going Out, The Guide to Making More and Spending Less, as a response to the budgeting challenges that most of us face. I, like so many other people, have had times where I've reached the end of the month, was broke, and had no idea how I got there. As I've worked with clients, I found that many of them have systematically gone deeper into debt because they lived on more than they made and relied on credit to make up the difference. I teach my clients that if they'll commit to living on less than they make by creating a written monthly budget, they'll reach their financial goals. My proven budgeting strategies are outlined in my ebook and will put you on the path to reaching your financial destiny. Email me at sherrygray@themoneymom.org to learn how to get your copy of my ebook, Coming In and Going Out, The Guide to Making More and Spending Less. Welcome back to the Money Mom Show. This is your host, Sherry Gray, and I have with me special guest, Teresa Sinicola. She is the founder of the International Christian Mompreneur Network, and the topic for this show is 5 Financial Fitness Tips for the Mom Entrepreneur, and we've talked about creating a separate checking account for your business as well as paying yourself a salary for the work that you do. Very, very important. Teresa, what's another financial fitness tip for the mom entrepreneur?
Okay, Sherry. Well, this is going to stretch some people a little bit, but okay. I know that you you can understand it. And I think that it's important for most mom entrepreneurs, as soon as they possibly can, to hire a bookkeeper and a CPA.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I knew you would like that. And, you know, probably even a financial advisor because, you know, the blessing and the danger of being a mom entrepreneur is the whole do-it-yourself thing. And we, you know, we can do a lot of it ourselves, right? And we figure, why not? You know, we can do it. Let's save money, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, but that's also the danger of it because, you know, when we find that we are spending not only too much time doing something, but it's not good quality time for us, we're taken away from something. We're taken away from the opportunity to grow the business, the opportunity to provide better service for our customers, or the opportunity to be with our family, right?
Exactly. You know, someone made a point to me because I'm like that. I want to do everything myself. I feel like I'm saving money. I don't have to pay somebody. But someone said, think about this. If your hourly rate is $100 an hour, but you pay a bookkeeper, I don't know, let's just say $25 an hour to do your bookkeeping for you, but it free and they do it in 2 hours, and instead of you spending 2 hours doing it, you can make $100 an hour. And you're still profiting $75 an hour because you have time to do whatever it is you need to do with your business versus doing the bookkeeping. And they showed it to me in a way that you're actually losing money if you are concentrating on things that are not your that aren't in your lane when you could be spending the time making money. So I was like, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, and you know, and you're not driving yourself crazy. So for me, every time I would have to go and do my invoices and you know, reconcile my accounts and figure out, you know, file my quarterly taxes. I mean, I still do. I still file my quarterly taxes myself, but my books are in much better shape and I know exactly what to do. And so, you know, I would get in an argument because usually it was like my husband would catch, you know, the brunt of it all. And and I would end up feeling incompetent. So I would feel like, how can I be so successful and bring in all this money and know that I'm really good at what I do? But be such a loser and such a failure when it comes to managing these books, you know? And I would beat myself up, and then I'd start with the whole, well, I'm just not a good steward of my finances because I can't seem to get this to work, and what is wrong with me? And then I was, like, embarrassed to let anybody see how horrible I had, you know, made my books look. And then you feel, too, like, I'm not big enough. Why would a bookkeeper want to come and work for me? You know, the company is not that big. I don't make enough money. And, you know, the truth is that, you know, if you look at it just like you said, Sherry, from the hourly rate kind of standpoint, and you know how much your time is worth, whether you charge by the hour or not, you know what your time is worth. You can see how you are losing money. And for me, I would have to hire, I remember one day sitting in my office with my husband, we were trying to work on tax stuff. We were trying to get our books in order to even get to the tax prep phase. And and I hired a babysitter, you know, and I ended up spending $30 or whatever to have this babysitter play with my kids, and I could hear them playing and laughing and having a good time. And here I was in the office, miserable, and my husband was miserable, and I'm like, you know what? I should just not be doing this.
Right. Light bulb moment.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, it's hard for us as moms to let things go, but there are certain things that it really benefits us if we just say, okay, this is better off in the hands of someone who knows exactly what they're doing, and that's not me, and it's okay.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think the other thing is that somebody pointed out to me is when we open up that opportunity for somebody else, then, you know, we're blessing them. Like, we're able to do what we are called to do in our business because we've freed up that time, but we've allowed them to do what they're called to do in their business.
That's true. So you're actually not blessing yourself, but you're blessing that other entrepreneur who's getting business from you. So it's a win-win. Wow. That's amazing. Now, what is another financial fitness tip that you have?
Okay. So this one is just really simple, and this is about not sticking your head in the sand. You have to know your numbers. So in the healthcare world, you know, the whole campaign of knowing your numbers, you're not supposed to know your blood pressure and your cholesterol level. That's, you know, that's your job if you're taking charge of your own health, is to know your blood pressure and your cholesterol, because they're such indicators of every other major disease that you can get. And when you're an entrepreneur, you need to know your numbers. You need to know what your revenue is. You need to know what your expenses are. You need to know what your cash flow looks like. You need to measure the profitability of your different products and your services. You don't have to know how to use QuickBooks. You don't have to know every little detail, but you need to have some sort of dashboard or spreadsheet, and you can talk with your bookkeeper about it and determine what numbers you need to look at every week or every month or, depending on your business, every day. And those numbers are different for everybody. You know, I don't need to look at the same things, you know, as somebody else, just depending on what your business is. But whatever it takes for you, like for me, I am not one that's going to open up an electronic spreadsheet every day or every week and look at it. Like, I have to put it on a whiteboard. I'm a visual person. I'm a pen and paper person. And I have to look and put those two or three numbers that I'm tracking on a whiteboard and look at them. Otherwise, they will go like in, you know, in and out, and then I won't pay any attention to them. So whatever works for you, get it in front of you, make a commitment, set it up on your calendar. Like every Friday after lunch, I check my numbers. I look at these numbers. Or every, you know, the first Friday of the month, I have a meeting with my bookkeeper and we review the numbers. Hmm. Whatever it works for you, but just step up.
Yeah.
Take ownership of it. Bite the bullet. However, you know, this is where, go back to the fitness analogy here, and you know, this is where you like, this is where you got to do your push-ups. You know, you just have to put the work in, and you know, love your scripture quote today, you know, from Timothy chapter 1, and he talks about self-discipline. This is self-discipline.
That's true.
And that is what's necessary.
Now, when you look at your numbers, I know you're everybody's different because every business is different, but what exactly are you looking for when you look at your numbers?
But I'm looking at, you know, sales. I'm looking at my expenses, and I'm looking at I use a lot of subcontractors in my business because we do web design and video editing and things like that. So I've got copywriters on staff, and they're not employees. They're 1099 contractors. So that, you know, different line item.
Yeah.
I've got to look and make sure that the projects that they're working on for me are still profitable, you know.
That's right.
So that's the kind of thing I'm looking at in my business. I'm looking at my monthly, my quarterly sales. I'm looking at my fees. You know, if you're in any kind of internet business, there's a lot of little, you know, fees on your transactions. And
yeah.
You know, that stuff tends to just creep up on you. And
and
for me, I'm looking at my marketing expenses because that's where I love to throw my money. Like, I love to look in there and to be like, oh, yeah, I got plenty of money. I'll sign up for this course. Or I got plenty of money. I'll buy an ad on this, you know, blog or I'll do this. And, you know, I have, of course, I have a marketing plan. That's, you know, what I do. But, you know, the bright, shiny object comes my way and I'm like, oh, yeah, there's money in there. I got to do that. Little do I know, I've got, you know, $10,000 of invoices I got to pay for subcontractors if I'm not paying attention.
Yeah. And so you're, when you're looking at the numbers, you're able to make adjustments, I would assume, if something's not quite right. So, okay, I need to tweak that and tweak that, change that, change that, or back on that.
Yep. And, you know, the other thing is to really pay attention to, you know, when you said it's something's not quite right, you know, if you're using a business credit card, you got to look at it. You got to pay attention to what those charges are on there and what the fees are on there. And, you know, if you're getting charged for something you didn't purchase and you're not paying attention to that, you know, that's it's hard. It's a hard lesson to learn, but that's our job.
you definitely got to stay on top of it because you don't want to just create a profitable business. You want to maintain it and make sure that it continues to grow and remain profitable. So that's definitely important. But right now, I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to leave you with the sounds of Turnaround by Matt Mayer. This is Sherry Gray, the Money Mom, and I'll see you in a few.
Just what?
This is Sherry Gray, the Money Mom, and I define financial legacy as making decisions about how you use your money so that you and your family are living in financial abundance, which overflows into and impacts your community. Then your family and your community will look at your money choices, see the positive impact on your life and theirs, and want to do what you did. As a certified personal finance counselor, my financial legacy workshops focus on giving, budgeting, building wealth, and leaving a financial legacy. A lot of my students want to focus on investing to build wealth. Unfortunately, most people don't have enough money left over every month to contribute what I recommend and are in danger of not having enough money to last them throughout their retirement. That's why I focus on the heart, giving tithes and offering, and budgeting before I ever talk about investing. If you're going to reach a state of financial legacy where you have enough money to pay your bills, become debt-free, build wealth, retire with dignity, and leave a financial legacy that your family can be proud of, the first step is signing up for my workshop. To learn more about how to become a part of my next financial legacy workshop, email me at SherryGray@TheMoneyMom.org.
Welcome back to the Money Mom Show. This is your host, Sherry Gray, and I have with me this hour Ms. Teresa Sinicola. She is the president and founder of the International Christian Mompreneur Network, and we are talking about five financial fitness tips for the mom entrepreneur. It has been an enlightening hour. We've talked about opening up a separate checking account for your business, working with a bookkeeper and a CPA, talking about looking at your numbers, you know, are you being profitable? Either you do it on a weekly, monthly, however often you feel is necessary for your business, and paying yourself a salary is extremely, extremely important. And Teresa, what is the fifth financial fitness tip for the mom entrepreneur that you want to share tonight?
Okay, Sherry, the fifth tip is setting boundaries around your time and your money. And so it's kind of like a warm and fuzzy tip. It's really not a financial a number-crunching tip. But I think what happens for a lot of us is that, especially women, you know, we're people pleasers and we don't want to say no to anybody. But when our goal is to run a profitable business, for whatever reason, you know, and for me and for my clients, the goal is to run a profitable business that supports our values of faith and family. And so that's a pretty powerful statement. And the key word there is profitable. And if your goal is to be profitable, then you have to know what your time is worth, and you have to be willing to set boundaries around your time and your money. So, you know, one of the first examples would be, you know, to stop doing all these pro bono, in-kind donations, charitable contributions.
I'm guilty.
Because we're raised to do that, right?
Yes.
You know, and that's, we know it's a good thing. We know that Jesus wants us to, you know, share our time and our talent and our resources with others. And, you know, that's great. That's wonderful that we do that. But you've got to put a limit on it. So when I say you don't stop doing it, you just have to set those boundaries. And so one of the ways that you can do this is really be strategic about it. Look at your calendar year and donate a certain number of hours or a certain time. You know, you can say, well, it's slow for me in this particular season of the year, so I'll be doing all my pro bono work during the two weeks in July. Or you can say, you know what, I'm going to do one pro bono project per month or per quarter. And then look at your money, look at your budget for the year and say, you know, okay, well, if I want to tithe 10% of my in-kind, you know, of my work in terms of providing pro bono or in-kind donations, then, you know, that's, you know, let's say I work 40 hours a week and, you know, you do the numbers and figure out how many hours you want to donate. And then decide where you're going to donate that. Where are you going to invest your pro bono work or your charitable contributions? And then be free to say no to anything else.
Right.
Because you already have, you know, oh, that's a really wonderful cause. I so wish that I could help you, but we've already committed to XYZ charity and, you know, XYZ project, and that's, you know, that's what our business is supporting this year, maybe next year.
I know I've gotten caught up in, you know, I think for a lot of entrepreneurs, well, at least for me, you love doing what you do. And it almost doesn't feel like work. So when people ask you to, you know, contribute your time for free, sometimes it's so easy, especially when I first started out in business. I just wanted to talk about money. I wanted to talk about finance. I didn't care if it was paid or not paid. But then it got to a point, like you said, it's like you have to think about, you have to actually make your business profitable to not only service the people who need your services, but also to provide for your family. So there has to be boundaries set. And I, this past year, have done that. I do speaking engagements and I do workshops and things like that, but I only do them for free for organizations who help low-income individuals and families.
Right.
That's my criteria. If it's not...
yeah,
it's
you have
that
to
threshold,
have some. You have to do that.
Yeah, that's what I do. And for people, and I'm, you know, say, you know, well, we can't really pay. Well, I, you know, I can't really commit to that at this point, at this moment. You know what I mean? I try to put it, you know, in a nice way, but it took me a long time to get there to accept the fact that it's okay to say no sometimes.
Yeah, I think that that's hard. And, you know, the other thing that's hard that we have a trouble with boundaries is that we're afraid to raise our rates. And, you know, I feel like you need to know what your time is worth. We talked about that. And you need to not be afraid of charging what you're worth because, again, your goal is to run a profitable business so that your cup can overflow and you can serve others from that overflow. And so, you know, you need to be willing to raise your rates. You need to be willing to collect on unpaid invoices. So how many times do you have a client that doesn't pay you? Right. Okay, you're laughing because you know you've been there. We all have. And it's so easy for us to just write it off and say, oh, you know, I'm not going to.
I don't want
to
be a bill collector. I don't want to harass them. But you've provided a service.
Right.
To this person or company. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, the last thing about boundaries that I'll mention here, because I think it's really important for the mom entrepreneur, is you got to figure out where that boundary is with your husband if you're married. You know, there's single mom entrepreneurs too, but with your husband, for me, I needed to be fully transparent with him on my business finances. And this is not to say that I, you know, go show him the numbers every day, but I had to bring him, he's not a member of my company, he's not an employee or partner or anything, but I needed to open up that boundary and know that, you know, because this is my business, it's his business too, and so he needs to be a part of that, and that was hard for me, and it's not like he's coming to make any changes, but certainly he was, you know, he doesn't agree with everything that I do, but it can't be a secret between us. And it can't be something I try and hide from him. And so, you know, that's not for everyone, but understanding where that boundary is and knowing, you know, what you need to communicate with your husband is a really important thing to address.
And they don't want to, well, I speak for myself, they don't want to know every single number. They just want to be informed. They want to be a part of it. They want to know what's going on. And I teach that with my students when they do budgets, when they do anything with their money. I teach them if you're married, you have to consult your spouse. You have to talk with your spouse. One person will be the one who does the budget. They're more the money person. But the other person has to have a say, and they have to have, you know, be allowed to have input as well, because if you work together that way, your finances are going to be blessed. They're going to blossom. If you don't, you know, it'll go the other direction. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely. Definitely, definitely. One of the last things I want to, this is a new thing I do at the end of my show now. I call this God is Still Working. And just think about it for a second. But can you name one thing about yourself that you can say, God is still working on this in me to take me from where I am to where he wants me to be? Personally, business, anything.
Wow. Okay. So God is always working on me.
me too.
Yeah, you know, God is working on my ability to slow down and be still and listen. I am naturally a doer and a planner, and He is working on me and showing me how to slow down and listen to Him first in every area, business and personal. So,
yeah. Wow. Yeah, me too. My favorite scripture is in James, be slow to speak and quick to listen. And so could be a challenge for me as well. But before we go, I just want to see if we have one more caller, see if they have a question or they maybe just listen in.
Okay.
Hello, caller. Welcome to the Money Mom Show. Do you have a question for Teresa? Or are you just listening?
I'm just listening. And very good information.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you for joining us tonight. I appreciate it. Well, Ms. Teresa, thank you so much for coming on again. You always, as usual, give just awesome information and advice, and this is amazing. And if people want to know more about you, I know you mentioned it before, but if they want to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Great. Well, thank you, Sherry, for having me again. And I'll give you my website address again. The best way is to join the International Christian Mompreneur Network because it's completely free and you get all kinds of great tools and inspirational audios and all kinds of fun stuff. So the place to do that is www.icmnetwork.com. That's I for International, C for Christian, and M for Mompreneur, network.com. And we'd love to have you come and join us. And Sherry, I need to talk to you offline too because we're having a live event in Virginia in April, and I keep forgetting that you are so close to me. Yep, we're having SheBuildsABusinessEvent.com, and it is going to be a really hands-on small group working workshop where we're going to talk about building our foundations for flourishing in business, and it is going to be so much fun. So we'll have to chat about that.
Yes. Oh, that's amazing. Because I think I did see that. You're going to be in Springfield, Virginia. No?
I'm going to be in Springfield at the end of April for the Spark and Hustle Conference, which you know, I'd love to see you there. This is our event. This is the members of the International Christian Mompreneur Network. We are going to be in Virginia Beach April 17th and 18th. 18th and 19th. I said that wrong. It's a day and a half. It's a Thursday and a half a day Friday. It's a conference right here on the boardwalk and the beach, and we're going to be kind of connecting and learning and supporting one another. And there's a special going on right now, you know, bring a friend for half price. So I think there'll be a lot of really amazing women there.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely give me a call and so I can hear more about it. It sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for being here. And I just want to let you guys out there know that you can always listen to my live show online at blogtalkradio.com/TheMoneyMom. If you miss the live shows, don't worry. You can listen to the recordings of my past shows at themoneymom.org. And I'm going to leave you with the sounds of You Are, I Am by Mercy Me. This is Sherry Gray, the Money Mom, and I'll see you next time.
You're not enough. Yeah.